It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is. Hey, Seth and Sean, Carrabba's.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We're coming strong with it, man. And so we're hoping that our Sports Radio 610 audience brings that same energy. But until then, J-Lo.
Yeah, man.
Enjoy the boat.
I'll talk to you tomorrow at 10.
Yep,
oh,
10
man,
a.m.
Hey, meant to tell you guys.
Yeah.
They got us.
How's that?
They got us.
They got us.
How's that?
They got Clint and I. Tyler, too. If we weren't in completely into the World Cup, you know they got you when you come in and you're pissed off and you're arguing about stuff
that you
really don't know a lot about.
No, I can't wait.
Awesome.
Like, we got in there and it turned into
that was not a
Ohio State should be in. No, it turned into
and they got us again,
a couple of things before y'all get out of here. I want to know.
By the way, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HE2 Houston Odyssey Sports Station.
Sure. Now we got that out the way.
If we lose next round because of it, I'm done.
Because I do want to get, and we're going to get into the red card discussion, and I think it'll be a real fun discussion for two people who don't quite know exactly what it is.
Best kind.
What is, if the Texans were walking out there, what is the equivalent of him
not
being
having
out?
Flow?
Because he scored three goals in their four games. But yeah. He's only played in three of them.
Yeah,
I think it's CJ. I don't. I think it's even bigger than Nico, offensively. Anyway.
But hold on, who's the most important player on the team?
I think it's Nico.
I think
most important player is Christian.
I think it's Christian.
Yeah, Christian is the most important. So I don't know if you believe that Stroud or Will. I don't know.
I think that's. I'm just taking it from the offensive side. If I start doing the defense, I don't know if I.
I just
have
meant
the right.
Most important piece on the most important piece on the Texans.
It's Nico.
So this is Nico.
I think it's Nico.
I think given how much he's scored and how much he's had a chance to score, even though you can say set aside what you think of C.J. Stroud. I think he's a quarterback. Even though Pulisic is technically kind of the quarterback. I think he's that big.
The reason why I'll disagree with you on that is we saw in that third match when they went with kind of the B squad, when Christian came on, things started changing and he was more facilitator. Like, I think that's why I will lean him like towards CJ. I think the Nico comparison also goes as deep as who you have replacing him feels like if you were like, hey, Jayden Higgins, go there, you know, do your best Nico. Like, Pepe doesn't quite do that.
He's looking at it in role. I'm thinking importance. He's number one.
Well, you know,
so you're saying
I'm not even looking at the text line, and I know somebody's like, "Well, then who's Davis Mills?"
Because in your mind, he is the most important. They're losing their most important piece.
Yes,
and you think maybe second most important piece.
100%.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Clearly. But somehow they're still favored.
I mean, they've played really well.
And they got pretty handled pretty well the last time they did.
Well, they're trending up, and them terrible jersey-wearing Belgians are trending down.
Without question.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you. We got soccer clean over here.
Belgium, awful jersey.
Look at this.
Awful jersey.
He's giving you all the analysis you need, baby.
Yeah.
Quickly. Yeah. I think you guys disagreed. Did you think it was a red card?
I thought it was a red card.
Absolutely not. 100% no. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
This is it. You guys can stay or not. To me, it was very much like college football targeting. And I think in those two, except the penalties, even worse, right? You gotta play with a down a man the whole way, rest of the way. So you miss the rest of that game, and then you miss the entirety of the next, not just a half, like in college football. But those two sports, to me, you can have plays that you can see are not intentional.
Mm-hmm. And still.
Not intentional that lead to just penalties that would compare to I just knocked a guy out.
But that's one of the reasons I think it's 100% not a red card, because part in college football you're out. Well, you know, no matter what, you're out, like what you just said. In FIFA, in the World Cup, malice is one of the words they use.
Yeah.
There was no malice. I mean, your foot has to land somewhere.
It says, for me, red card, obviously we understand what the results are, but violent conduct or serious foul play using excessive force, biting or spitting, dangerous tackles with
what
malice.
Luis Suarez.
No.
So I just
that,
didn't.
To me, that was the key thing. Yes, it was a yellow card. Yes, he stepped on his foot. But he, first of all, he was facing the other way. They were both playing the ball. He stepped on his leg, absolutely gets a yellow card. Where was the malice?
It just
I agree with you, Lopez. I just don't know. I just casually watching. These guys are constantly sliding in front of each other and under each other's foot.
Yeah.
How do you get ejected for a game and a half for stepping on somebody's ankle or
it's definitely a card because they put the studs on a leg. You're going to get a card.
Cool. I get that.
In the NBA, if you go up to block a shot and your follow through comes on their head,
you're going
to
get.
But you're not getting. But you get a flagrant two when you Draymond.
But
that wasn't a Draymond to me.
There's not much difference there. And I think for me, the big thing about it is usually when in my soccer watching, studs, red card. Like it's gotten to be where it's like it's that cut and dry.
Although Messi didn't.
You're dealing with the greatest of all time and he's getting deference. I think he absolutely should have, but we know how the game works sometimes.
Yeah, but I don't even think Flo's he should have. Like, I just, the penalty is so
harsh.
Strong.
Mm-hmm. That's soccer for you, though. It's supposed to, in some ways, be a deterrent, make you play with a little bit more concern in the way that you go about things. Does it work? I don't know, but that's the way that it kind of did.
Caused me to leave the game.
That's it? You just got here.
For the casual fans, I think flopping is the flopping that goes on is a turnoff for most casuals.
Flopped in the moment, too.
And now we're sitting here trying to watch our team. We're finally trying to get into it, and you take our best player away from him because he stepped on a guy's ankle.
Yeah.
In a sport where everybody slides under everybody's feet all the damn time.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard for me to... Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it. A rule is a rule, I don't think what he did is what that rule states. But...
All's fair if you get the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... You gotta... Accidental things like that can't result to me to
in like game changing.
Right. Miss the game,
right.
Down a player, miss the entire next game.
Yeah.
I agree. Like that is old dude headbutt a dude in the chest. I got you.
Yeah.
That's a little different. Mm-hmm. Right. I just yellow card. Hell, miss that game. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little, but wow. Yeah. That is something else. And I tell you what. Maybe I've watched soccer. It's like the first time I've like stayed in to watch soccer, but the offsides thing is killing.
Mm-hmm. Offside?
It's killing kind of the game a bit me.
Once you really get it, I think you'll get it.
I understand it. If I don't know why. It feels like this feels like it is the most that I've felt to where it's like every time now somebody scores
you're looking.
It's not even to celebrate, right? It's the flag, and it's kind of I feel like something's got to be.
Soccer fans are actually with you because
I watched a lot of the Women's World Cups. Yeah. I've watched Olympics. I don't feel like I have gotten to a space every time a goal is scored. I try to look and see if that flag is coming up.
Yeah, right. Soccer fans also feel that way because it's been maybe the last couple years, J-Lo, where they went from that flag used to have to be called immediately.
Yeah.
And they let them now kind of let the play go on and then
you couldn't
afterwards
review it.
Because you couldn't review it, because if they called it offsides and come to find out he wasn't offsides, they were like,
That's after the fact.
It's better for us to be able to take a goal off than to not be able to allow the goal to go score because we messed up. That's why they've gone this way.
They were showing watch parties and half the people were like, whoa! And the other half...
They're like, hold on.
A touchdown is being thrown and everybody's... Like, every time everybody's running around looking for flags.
Yeah.
Like, that is...
I don't mind that part. I'm not a woo guy.
Yeah.
I am.
I don't mind the look around like, all right, kind of like the ABS in baseball. Like,
I hate that too.
Did he walk or did he strike out? Let's watch it. I think it adds a little bit of lean into it.
I hate that. At the end of, like, strikeout, there's a strikeout. Yeah. We're running off the field and everybody's waiting. Oh.
Yeah, Christian Walker.
No, they got to sit there and wait.
Christian Walker.
Especially in the games. Yeah. Like, in the games, we're going to sit there and wait. Oh, all right.
We didn't win.
They didn't win. Like, that's...
What about if you win, though? What about if he wins it, he goes to first, and then Jordan hits the grand slam?
Hey, I've seen that happen.
Like the thing that I picture is there is going to be a series that comes to an end.
Yeah.
Strike three called, and you throw off your helmets and everything, and we got to wait.
Hold on, get back in the dugout.
Hold on, we got to wait. And everybody's standing, kind of standing. And now we got to act like that moment happened again.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then we can do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Appreciate that segment, boys.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
Enjoy it. I had some thoughts, man. I did, man.
Oak and iron. Are you kidding me? Federal Grill. Are you kidding me? Golly, boys. What's going on?
That just can't result into a guy being out.
I agree with you.
That just, like, that can't. I mean, this isn't Saturday night at Shell. Houston Dynamo
great
playing the Chicago Fire if that team still exists.
Hold on, so
like this is like you had to walked over there to that and looked at that and thought, I know what the penalty is going to be if I call this a red card.
No, you had all the time in the world to think about it.
He has to have gotten jumped up, looked down, stomped on his ankle, and like it had to have been obvious. That is wild for me. Can't believe that. And I halfway don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I 75% of the way don't know what the hell I'm talking about, I don't like it.
And I don't know. We talked about it before the show, Tyler. When you watched that, there was nothing about that act that if I just pulled you out and I said, hey, guess what? That guy's going to miss the rest of this game, and they're going to have to play without a – with one less guy, and he's going to miss the next game for that. Like, whoa.
That's the part that got me last night, because like you've been saying, and I said a lot yesterday, I'm learning this game. Like, I don't know a lot about soccer, but I'm enjoying it. I'm learning it. Whenever I found out that this dude's going to miss the entirety of the round of 16, I was like, holy hell. I thought it was just the remainder of that current game. I didn't know what went into the next action.
But that's how they know they got you. And we care. I was at a Stomp's Burger, just pissed.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? I've watched it way too many times. Like, I've watched like somebody's feet inbounds, or I watched Wimby get just mush Jalen Brunson. I've watched it way too many times, but they got us.
I went back. I was trying, because of my ignorance. I went back and watched it multiple times. I was thinking, like, what? I saw the red card, and I saw him walking off the field, and I was like, what? What did he? What is he? What happened? What's going on here?
Is that like a draw?
I literally had to Google it. Or when I searched for it, it spit it out real quick.
I just said, what the hell? I said, damn. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, they got to play with. I knew they had to play with 10. I knew. I was like, damn, I don't know if they're going to be able to hold on if they got 30 minutes. To try to hold on to this thing.
The only part I disagree with some of the different analysis that I've heard, I felt like the USA dominated that game. On the defensive end, it seemed like every one of those balls that got hit in there that is usually like a header into the shot or where everybody jumped, like they just, whether it was a goalie or a defender for the USA, they just snatched it out of the
air.
It wasn't even close.
And even down a man, they still were able to put pressure offensively, which led to that last goal. So
bring your ass, Belgium.
We'll see. We'll see. What do you call Belgians?
What do you call people from Belgium?
I don't know.
What are they referred to as, Tyler?
I don't know. Belgians?
What are Belgium people referred to?
Belgians?
That's what that's.
I don't know. I mean, that sounds like a great.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You go straight to it. Sounded good.
That felt right.
Yeah. They make great waffles.
Coming up, this from an anonymous fan of the Astros.
Doesn't it end with an M?
Yes.
So you drop the M and put an N?
Yeah, it adds up. Makes sense in Europe.
Okay.
Coming up next. From an anonymous Astros fan. Emi's clown ass faced 13 twin batters. He allowed 9 of 13 to reach base. Dude sucks ass. We'll discuss that guy coming up next. Jesus Christ.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
That ball hit deep to center field. Has he done it a third time? He has. Oh, my goodness. Over the batter's eye in center field, Josh Bell hitting his third home run of the season against Imai in three at-bats. Has 11 on the year, but he is teed off against Tatsuya Imai this season.
Yeah, that was a damn a bomb. I don't know how many we see that go over the batter's eye. I mean, it cleared it, and his parents were there. Josh Bell, he's a Dallas kid. His parents came down for the game. His mom was out there just taking pictures. She was so happy right behind the dugout. But, I mean, he absolutely clobbered that ball.
Holy mother of God.
Well.
Oh, no. We suck again.
We're back at it with Imai.
Yeah, I'm about over it.
I mean, he just had double-digit strikeouts his last two starts. Now, I know this is the third time in as many, I don't know, I think five starts that he hasn't been able to clear the second inning, but.
Bro, like Boss Man was just in here and he was like, yeah, it feels like lately it's either seven innings from Imai or seven outs. Like, that's the way it is. You can't have it.
Yeah, it's about six innings, but I mean, I want to be fair to him. I don't think he's pushed past six yet, but.
They ain't lucky sevens, that's for
Listen, the story of the game, obviously the Astros, they dropped the series. That's the first time in five series they dropped one. They lost a series for the first time on June 10th to Anaheim, or I don't know if they're still called Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, you know, the Mike Trouts. That's the last time they lost a series.
Well, he's not out there, but I get your point.
And obviously this was one of those, we don't have a chance right off the bat. Imai is able to grab four outs last night and four hits, five earned, five walks, hit some folks, two strikeouts, and but those strikeouts were nice, and 57 pitches. That was that line he had in Corpus, I believe. It was very similar to that, where he just didn't do well at all. And Clint, to me, he's the story, and it is why. They just cannot have him and Homer Mike in this rotation. I mean, you cannot have – they only got room in their rotation for one guy that – all right, man, it's probably up in the air if there's going to be a piggyback tonight. They only got one room for a guy that you look at – because literally with those two guys, you're like, I think they'll get out of the first. I think – But is there a guarantee that they're going to get through three? No. They just can't have those two.
It's a hell of a predicament to be in because, again, outside of Josh Hader, I believe he's the highest paid pitcher on the squad. But I know as the starter. But at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to give up on a kid because obviously you feel like the potential is through the roof given how you pursued him and paid him. But the reality of it is that, boy, you kind of like we've talked about with resting the players, the position players, is that the others are so suspect, whether it be injuries or just lack of sample size or just aren't ready to produce that way yet. It's hard to not move with a sense of urgency. This last night made it significantly more difficult to accept that Christian Javier is going to the bullpen.
Yeah, it just can't happen.
Agreed.
Like, you can't. One of those guys has to come out.
At least Burrow. Here's the deal with Burrow. I know. I'm coming over to your way of thinking with Burrow. The thing with Burrow is hell. You've said it a million times. I mean, he gonna get you five or six. I mean, he might not get out of the first.
Or he might strike out 11.
Yeah, right. Yes, but here's where I'm at. I don't know, boys, that it's not time to put Imai in the bullpen, and for him to get some run as
you might completely lose him.
Well, that's fine. He's gonna. I mean, he's got to toughen up. I mean, we can throw Javier down there.
Some dirt on.
I don't know if there's enough of those fruit bowls going around that ballpark for it.
I mean, we've thrown everybody. We've watched him throw everybody not named Verlander and Hunter Brown and Fromber in the damn bullpen at some point. Every pitcher that has started for the Astros not with those three names in the last handful of years has spent time in the bullpen. Like I just don't know that it's not time for him to go to the bullpen and see if he can't work his magic and get us out of a pinch. Or get some work in a long relief situation where we're getting our tails kicked and it really doesn't matter what the hell he does. I just don't know the wheels come off and he has a hard time getting them back on. That's the thing. It's not the rough first inning. I think we could get beyond some of the roughness. It's the, boy, when they come off, it is like he struggles to – it's either penthouse or outhouse.
Yeah, but 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, jump into this. To me, I come away from the last two games. Both of those dudes cannot be pitching every five. Like, they can't both have spots in the rotation with Christian Javier out there. All right. We'll talk about Lance, too, because, hell, Lance, he should throw his hat in the ring now after he went four innings in of good baseball in AAA. With what those dudes, but both of them can't be in the rotation. And I would wonder, which one would you say you'd rather go with right now? Who would you feel more comfortable being in? Is it Emi or is it Homer Mike? And for me, it's Emi, because at least, like, I get your point. Man, he might not make it out of the first, which he has done. But in between that, he has the last two starts before this one, six innings and three runs or less, so two straight quality starts. Then he had that one bad one where he couldn't get out of the first. But then before that, five innings and two runs, six innings and two runs, six innings and no runs, four and two-thirds and three runs where he got cut short with the rain delay. Like, Mike scares me every time he throws a pitch.
Fair, but he's not gonna burn down your bullpen.
The Burrow boxes. I will even argue that Mike should have burned down the bullpen a few other times. Joe has just said, "You eat it."
Yeah, you gotta take it.
Like, he's got, Mike has got a four or five run first innings. Like, where yeah. Joe is, hell, he gave up three in the last one.
You know,
Joe trusts like
When you first said it, I said, ain't no chance I would go with Burrow just because he burns down your bullpen. But if Javier is going to be in there waiting, if he's going to be sitting in there waiting and you're going to have a quick trigger with MI when he gets in trouble in the first inning, then I may be able to ride it out. But I think it's less about the two guys and it's more about what can we do to get MI the work that he needs and not cost us games or burn down our bullpen. Get him work as a non-starter. I think he would be really good.
So you've reached the point where his contract does not matter at all.
Well, no, I think he would benefit greatly for a quick stint in the bullpen and to work some things out.
I just say that because I think a clear reason why he has remained in the rotation is because of the amount of money they're paying him, sure, and they've committed to him.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty convincing what you just read it out. I think when the wheels don't come off in the first inning, he's pretty damn good. Problem is, I mean, every third game, the wheels are coming off.
Well, I thought he had pulled it together yesterday, yeah. Only giving up two in that first with the bases loaded and getting a strikeout. Then he waltzed his ass right back out there.
A few more?
He clearly knew he's not making it. He's not making it out of this inning.
I don't know. It's not a panic button for me. With him, but I don't know that he wouldn't benefit from some thoughtless work. Hey, man, it's 7-2.
One of them have to come out because you have Javier who was there and ready to go. One of them have to come out. Now, if it was Weiss or Weiss or anybody, but Javier is sitting there. You cannot say unless. This is a deal where you're concerned about arm fatigue or something, but I don't know if that's the case because he just threw six innings the other night. But that is odd to me that he goes right to the bullpen. Maybe they changed their mind. Maybe they changed their mind with that after these last two starts. All right, coming up, we have been doing our AFC contender concern meter, and we are traveling to a team that the Texans have played a lot, the Baltimore Ravens. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss them. What's your concern meter with this AFC contender?
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll do that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back. As good times being had. Again, remember, I know Reggie has talked about it earlier. Tomorrow is one of One of my favorite days every year at Sports Radio 610. Tomorrow is the second edition of the Reggie and Ron Radiothon, as we are trying to help feed Houston. And last year we hit nearly $30,000, and I can tell you that was not the thought from the Houston Food Bank. They were pleasantly surprised of what you all were able to help us do, and we want to do more this year, right? $1 takes care of three meals. So any that you can give really, really helps. And they've got over a million people that they are feeding and trying to feed every day, over 18 counties in the Houston area. And tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Reggie and I, we're going to be on all day long with the help from some of our friends, including Clinch Turner.
I'll be a little a.m. time tomorrow.
A little a.m., a little switch it up. Yeah, yep. Yeah, including some of our friends. But we
see
really
if
hope.
I can't get the sleepy out of my eyes.
There you
get
go.
Get started.
You go to sportsradio610.com and you can check it out and see how you can give. We're trying to kick through the door of last year and really make this a thing. You can also go on sportsradio610.com. You could see it right there as soon as it pops up. It is the Reggie and Ron Radiothon. You can click on it and see our auction items, and you have a chance to make bids. You can do that right now. There are people who are making bids, and there are some really cool things on there. Tyler won't tell me the truth, but I think Tyler is making bids on things.
I have on one.
there are some really, really cool things, man. We've got some, you know, obviously some amazing experiences with all of the shows, from Payne and Pendergast to In the Loop with us, where you can sit down and eat and have a good time going back and forth with us, and as well as Area 45. So you can bid on dinners there. And then we got cool stuff, man, from Mike Tyson autographed boxing gloves that you can take home.
Great man cave additions.
Really,
for this auction.
Really is solid man cave additions. Autographs from greats all over the world, athletes all over the world. So you can go and jump in on that right now. So please help us feed Houston, man. We really appreciate it. It should be fun tomorrow. All right.
Look. We're talking Colt McCoy, Vince Young, Earl Campbell.
And I thought that's the one that Tyler bid on.
We're talking about Yordan Alvarez. We're talking about Nolan Ryan. We're talking about Mike Tyson, Roger Staubach, Earl Campbell, Andre Johnson beating the brakes off Courtland Finnegan.
Oh, yes, they do, and they have an autograph. Yes.
All these are autographed. Jose Altuve coming out of his – one of them swings where he's coming out of his shoes, hitting
really
the bomb.
Is.
Hakeem Olajuwon jersey. Marcel Reed for all my Aggies out there. A little signed black helmet, one of the cleanest helmets in the game when they do those alternates, by the way.
It is.
Vince Young, autographed helmet, even for my soccer folks out there, Lionel Messi, autographed frame Barcelona jersey.
The jersey is autographed, yeah, baby. Yeah.
But let's get real here, man. I mean, these dinners with the crew are big time. I mean, it's we're going to do it right this year. And I appreciate it. Hell, I'm going to be selfish. I'd greatly appreciate y'all get out there and bid on that little dinner, little get down with the drive this year. Tyler, you gonna make it? Tyler, you making it?
Eventually,
yeah,
he will.
I mean, I plan on it. Yeah.
He made it last
time. I'll
be there.
Yeah, there's
we're getting all the podcasting done by somebody else that day. We're gonna get there. At 6 o'clock. At 5:54. You're done on that day.
Hey. Speaking into existence, I am here for that.
It's done. Riding, it's done.
We're riding with you.
Get out there driving. And play. Get out there and place a bid on that. I guarantee you.
I'm sitting in the middle on the truck.
You know what you're getting with us three, but I guarantee you, Oak and Iron is they not only a good spot, but they do it right. It's the do it part. They got a little VIP section where we do our show.
Join Clint and Rob.
I'll request VIP when we get there.
Yeah.
Owners are great. Owners are really good people. They're going to take care of you.
Tremendous spot. Low light, TVs everywhere.
Got that Trans Am.
Come on, man.
He wouldn't let me get into it. He let me see it. He showed me the owner. He got a nice little vintage car. Wouldn't let me get in it. It's all right, though, man. It's my guy. Maybe next time he'll let me get in it.
Damn.
I need a deviled egg. It's nice, though. It's nice. All right, Clint. We've been doing this leading up to training camp. These AFC contenders at 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this as well. It takes us to the Baltimore Ravens, and this is a team that the Texans have a lot of experience with in the regular season. They have played every year that they have run into since DeMeco has been here. That group has played the Ravens in the regular season and in the playoffs before. Last year was a different Ravens team, but there's a lot of history between this Texans group and that Ravens team. And there's a lot of change with the Ravens this year. Clint, John Harbaugh was there for 18 years. He and his staff is gone. And Jesse Minter, who is a Harbaugh, oddly enough, a Jim Harbaugh disciple, was at Michigan with him. And then with the Chargers as his defensive coordinator, he takes over to become the head coach. And then Declan Doyle is the offensive coordinator coming from the Bears, was the OC under Ben Johnson there. And they've also made some moves on the field. We know we've talked about Tyler Lindenbaum. That was a big loss for them. Isaiah Likely, a big loss for them. But they were also able to bring in Trey Hendrickson. We remember the Max Crosby situation. Trey Hendrickson is who they ended up going with. And then they've really strengthened their offensive line, both in the draft and in free agency. So this has been one of the AFC heavyweights. I know you said you're at a 10 with the Buffalo Bills. Where are you with the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you.
I was hoping you would be.
I'd probably go with 9.
So it's interesting. You have more concern about Buffalo, a team that the Texans have handled pretty well, and let a little bit lesser concern with the Ravens, a team when they've been the Ravens,
yeah,
they have beat the hell out of the Texans. Seems like almost going into last year, I think that's the one team where you're like, damn, man, that's the team that seems to really give them problems.
The level of success that the Texans have had versus the Bills scares me on this end. Like, it's almost a false confidence. Like, it's almost too, because it was too much of, I mean, it was just a absolute tail kicking. Multiple times. But, yeah, look, I would say a 9 with Baltimore. Look, I do wonder how much of a, you know, how far gone was the team with John Harbaugh? Was this just the defense had a bunch of injuries and kind of fell off, or was this a culture collapse? Was this he hung around 2 years too long, guys tuned him out, so the culture started to slide the other direction? There's that piece. And there's also the piece of a new offensive coordinator with Lamar Jackson. Although he's fared well in these situations previously, you know, I don't. That's always new head coach, new offensive play caller. There's a lot of new there that just look. I said a 9. It just keeps me from. I'm explaining why it's not a 10. I guess
that's the difference in Buffalo. Look, I said that because this is a team that has given. I would say the Ravens, again, when they've been the real Ravens, that's probably the team that has given the Texans the most problems.
When it's been John Harbaugh's Ravens, yes.
Yeah.
When it's been Lamar Jackson's Ravens, yes. But look, you've got Lamar Jackson, so a lot like Buffalo, you got a dude that I think you're crazy if you ever underestimate, and it's not a concern. I do believe that defense gets significantly better. Anthony Weaver, by the way, old Texan coach here, is the DC there. I believe they're significantly better just because they're healthier and more together.
They get Madubuke potentially back with Hendrickson. Obviously, Kyle Hamilton's over there.
Yeah, so I think the defense is significantly better, and they still got Lamar and the history you spoke of. So I would go with a 9. I think it would be a mistake to underestimate Baltimore just because of what happened last year and a coaching change.
The coaching change, I'd say probably short of a 10, just because there's some unknown there. Mm-hmm. Like what are you getting? But man, they got some. There's almost a bit of an Astros feel of they got some real elite dudes. Like there's some weirdness around it. Lamar is elite. Derek is. I'm going to stop trying to figure out when Father Time is going to grab Derek Henry because it is just not I thought it might last year, but he runs for 1,600 yards and 16 touchdowns anyway at age 32. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop believing that potentially is going to happen. But I mean, you know, him and Zay Flowers is a guy coming into his own, and Ronnie Stanley is still there, and as we said, Matabike and Kyle Hamilton might be the best safety in football, and Roquan Smith is still over there. So they've got some dudes, but I do like I you know how we talk about the Texans and their skill positions, you know, perimeter wise, not exactly like scary here. Like,
when was the last time they did?
I mean, Zay Flowers, like there was a deal where, I mean, they had Andrews and Likely together. There was something there. But, I mean, Andrews, Devontae Walker, Bateman, like, it don't really scare you there. But, obviously, Lamar and Henry, the combination, makes everything so much easier for everybody.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be – look, I mean, again, if they ever commit to – with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, if Declan Doyle, the new offensive coordinator, who out of Sean Payton's – I guess I would say Sean Payton's tree and then obviously spent some time with Ben Johnson in Chicago as well, if he you know what? It's be interesting to see what he tries to do with Lamar and Derek, because that is one where, boy, if they are a true attack offense with those two guys leading the way, good God.
Yeah, I just don't know how they're going. I feel like Jesse Minter's going to have the defense improved.
You would think so.
With those guys there, someone text in, I have more fear of the Ravens than the Bills. For some reason, Buffalo doesn't move me. It might be their defense. Yeah, I just... It is hard for me to shake my mind when that matchup against the Texans.
Yeah.
Like when we've watched that. That has just been.
Well, you're talking about the Buffalo Bills and Baltimore Ravens also are two teams that I would say have the ability to run the ball on anybody, and running the ball on the Texans kind of takes some of their sting away defensively. And so no pun intended there, Stingley, but you know, you do that and you can neutralize the strongest point. Plus you've got one of the best quarterbacks. Both teams obviously have one of the best quarterbacks in the game, so that's an advantage. So, yeah, both of those teams being able to run the football, I just think it would be – I think it would be a major mistake. Like the Buffalo thing. Now, I got the Texans beating Buffalo, so I know – I'm not saying that I'm above it, but I'm really uncomfortable with the whole, boy, they've really had Buffalo and Josh Allen's number the last couple years. Yeah. That really, for some reason, really doesn't sit well with me.
All right, Clint has questioned the polos on the sideline for the Texans, but I think this may be one of the biggest jobs that they have going into the season with their quarterback. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears, and I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.